You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
It's Thursday, January 12th, 2023. I'm Jackson Bird. Today, what exactly is an atmospheric river? Why is it causing so much havoc in California right now? And what do these current storms mean for the future? Plus, NASA and Roscosmos have reached an agreement on how to bring three ISS crew members back to Earth following a coolant leak on a Soyuz spacecraft. Just don't call it a rescue mission. Here's some cool stuff for your ride home. Since the end of December, California has been ravaged by unprecedented storms whose gale-force winds and flooding have led to tens of thousands of people losing power, numerous evacuation orders, caused an estimated $1 billion in damage, and killed at least 17 people so far. The storms have been the result of at least 8 atmospheric river events, and yet another round of storms is expected at the end of this week. But what exactly is an atmospheric river? And why are these storms so bad? In short, an atmospheric river is like a giant river in the sky. Hundreds of miles wide, more than 1,000 miles long, and a mile deep, shooting across the ocean powered by strong winds. They carry so much moisture that the water vapor in an atmospheric river can equal or exceed the average flow of the Mississippi River at the point where it flows into the Gulf of Mexico, according to the New York Times. And quoting the San Francisco Chronicle, atmospheric rivers begin in the tropical Pacific, near the equator, where the sun's rays heat up water particles, which evaporate and rise into the atmosphere. This water vapor can get pulled toward Hawaii by the trade winds forming drawn-out bands of moisture. The jet stream can stretch out moisture from Hawaii to the West Coast as it dips into California in the winter. After crossing the Pacific Ocean, atmospheric rivers can encounter mountain ranges along the California coastline, like the Santa Cruz Mountains. When this happens, moisture shoots upward and into colder layers of the atmosphere, becoming water vapor. This water vapor condenses into water droplets, which fall back to the surface as rain. Winds can continue to push rain from atmospheric rivers into the Central Valley, where falling rains can result in widespread flooding. Showers get trapped in the valley and can fall over cities like Sacramento for several hours or even days. End quote. California has been pelted by a seemingly endless series of atmospheric rivers over the last several weeks. Atmospheric rivers have historically been tough to forecast because they're quite low-lying storms, so they can be obscured by higher-altitude clouds when viewed via satellite. And the particular type of atmospheric rivers hammering California right now are a subset called Pineapple Express, because they form in tropical regions of the Pacific near Hawaii and continue through the atmosphere to the west coast of the U.S. While this current spate of atmospheric rivers is obviously causing a ton of destruction, atmospheric rivers aren't all bad, or as uncommon as the latest round of attention on them might have you believe. KQED reports that California gets 1 to 2 dozen atmospheric storms annually, and that they account for about 50% of the state's precipitation. And when the state gets fewer than that, they experience drought. But an atmospheric river becomes bad when they last longer than a day or occur back-to-back, as they have been for the past couple of weeks. Quoting Katarina Gonzalez, a climate researcher at the University of Minnesota, in an interview with Scientific American, "The first storms this year saturated the soil. It's soaked like a sponge, holding all the water it can, and any more will just run off. Rivers, creeks, and reservoirs are also fuller, so we can get flooding. A silver lining is the snowpack. It's January, so it's cold, and it's mostly snowing in the mountains, building up the snowpack. There are feet and feet of new snow. If this was March, it would be warmer, and we'd get rain on snow that would melt the snowpack, decreasing our stored water and causing flooding." End quote. Now, how far will that silver lining go? California has been in a drought for 3 years. Will all this water end it? According to a 2013 study cited by the San Francisco Chronicle, 33-40% of droughts in California between 1950 and 2010 were ended because of landfalling atmospheric rivers. And Sean DeGuzman of the California Department of Water Resources told CBS News that the state's snowpack is off to one of its best starts in the past 40 years. Quoting ABC News, extreme drought in California fell from 27.1% last week to 0.32% in the numbers released Thursday, according to the U.S. Drought Monitor. Severe drought, the third highest level, fell from 71% to 46%. And the week prior, parts of California and Nevada that were previously in exceptional drought status no longer qualified for the highest level of concern due to the extra moisture. End quote. But we are only a third of the way into the wet season, and there's every chance the state could get very little precipitation for the rest of the season, said Alex Hall, director of the Center for Climate Science at UCLA, to CBS News. And continuing from ABC News, quote, it will take several seasons at 120% to 200% the normal rain and snowfall to eliminate drought in the West, according to experts. However, the Sierra Nevada region is already measuring between 87% and 192% of its normal precipitation for the season. California is currently at 226% of its normal snowpack for this time of year and has surpassed the normal amount that is measured on April 1st, when the snowpack is typically at its peak. Soil moisture in California has also drastically improved, measuring at 100% as of Tuesday compared to 2% on November 1st. The moisture is likely staving off a mass die-off of trees in the state, experts told ABC News. Some of the largest reservoirs in California are also beginning to recover, but they remain nowhere near their typical average for this time of year. The inundation so far is not helping the Colorado River Basin as much, the region that needs the most help, including Lake Mead and Lake Powell, because they are in the heart of a 22-year mega drought. End quote. So it's helping at huge sacrifice, but perhaps not enough. What experts keep stressing is that California is now in this new normal of wet and dry extremes, and climate change is only going to make them more intense. Quoting KQED, the warmer the atmosphere, the more moisture an atmospheric river can contain. Marty Ralph, the director of the Center for Western Weather and Water Extremes, says this may not increase the frequency of atmospheric rivers in the future, but will make them more intense. End quote. And Gonzalez concurs, saying in her interview with Scientific American, quote, for a long time, I thought that we should focus on more science to improve forecasting, but we need to adapt to the climate change we've already set in motion. We can't forecast our way out of atmospheric rivers that are more gigantic. We have to make huge investments in green infrastructure, which uses nature to absorb runoff, such as floodplains, parks, and rain gardens. Our infrastructure was built for a 20th century climate that no longer exists. More intense days are coming, and these storms are just a preview. End quote. And parts of the West Coast, like so much of the world, is vastly unprepared. Quoting again from CBS News, in Los Angeles, which imports more than half of its water supply from Northern California and the drought-ravaged Colorado River, all the rain is a torrent of wasted opportunity. Most of the area's stormwater is funneled into the concrete-lined Los Angeles River and flushed into the ocean, in effort to prevent flooding Los Angeles's prized possession, real estate. We capture about 20% of our stormwater, says Bruce Resnick, executive director of LA Waterkeeper, an organization that serves as LA's water watchdog. Between the storm last week and the storm that's happening now, I bet we're going to see 20, 25, 30 billion gallons of water just going out the LA River into the ocean, he said, end quote. Now, to their credit, LA County is investing nearly $300 million annually to implement methods to capture and absorb more runoff. But will it be too little, too late? Many experts have been recalling the Great Flood of 1862, which left over 6,000 square miles of California's Central Valley underwater and bankrupt the state. The mega flood produced 3 feet of rainfall in San Francisco and completely flooded Sacramento. In that case, torrential rainfall continued for 43 days straight, causing thousands of deaths. Scientists have determined that mega flood was most likely caused by atmospheric rivers, and a study in 2013 indicated that geologic evidence shows mega floods occur in California about every 200 years. The current flooding in California puts us about 40 years ahead of that timeline were it to turn into a mega flood. More recent climate simulations performed this past August by the National Center for Atmospheric Research looked at the impacts of another month-long atmospheric river event. Quoting the San Francisco Chronicle, "Given today's climate, a series of atmospheric rivers could produce staggering amounts of precipitation in just 30 days, 40 to 55 inches in the Sierra Nevada, for example. This rain wasn't constant over the scenario period. Instead, there were bursts of high precipitation intensities, and such a deluge would produce catastrophic flooding. A mega flood could be even more likely in the coming decades if greenhouse gas emissions continue to rise," the researchers found. In simulations of a warmer future, the precipitation was even more extreme, with the Sierra Nevada seeing an astounding 55 to 70 inches in 30 days. Across the entire state, the scenario packed 71% of the precipitation of an average water year into a 30-day period. That scenario would just blow anything we've seen out of the water, maybe even 1862, said study co-author Daniel Swain, climate scientist at UCLA and the Nature Conservancy, end quote. Considering the extreme drought on the West Coast, Gonzalez appropriately referred to atmospheric rivers as, quote, "nothing short of a miracle," in an opinion piece penned in 2021. "They are," she said, "essentially a fertile delta falling out of the sky," end quote. Yet at the same time, she says they are a menace. They can be too heavily relied upon to fix droughts that could be reined in through tangible efforts to temper the climate crisis. As she told the San Francisco Chronicle, quote, "Atmospheric rivers may be painted as the bad guy when they're neither the villain nor the savior of us," end quote.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
An update now to last Tuesday's story about the leak on the Russian MS-22 Soyuz spacecraft docked at the International Space Station and the various options being considered to bring NASA and Roscosmos crew members back Earthside. While the cause of the leak was being investigated, the coolant leak is believed most likely now to have been caused by a micrometeoroid, NASA reached out to SpaceX to see if the Crew Dragon capsule also docked at the ISS could potentially be retrofitted to carry an additional 3 passengers, as one possible option for the safe return of these ISS astronauts and cosmonauts. It was announced yesterday that Roscosmos will instead be launching an empty Soyuz capsule to the ISS next month, which will replace the damaged one and return the 3 crew members to Earth. NASA's Space Station Program Manager Joel Montalbano noted at a joint press briefing with Roscosmos that this Soyuz was already scheduled to fly in March, so its timeline is just being bumped up a bit. He emphasized that this is a replacement, not a rescue. And this pushes a few missions back. Even though the MS-23 will launch next month, it won't return the crew to Earth for several more months, and the original MS-23 crew will now have to wait for the MS-24 to be ready. The February 16th launch of Crew 6 in a SpaceX Dragon capsule may also be pushed back as a ripple effect from the changing launch schedules. Quoting Space.com, The coolant leak on December 14th, which was captured in a dramatic video by station cameras, meant the Soyuz MS-22 is unable to keep its crew capsule and systems cool enough for safe operation. That left its crew without a lifeboat in case of an emergency, since the currently docked SpaceX Dragon capsule was designed to hold only its 4 Crew 5 mission astronauts, not 7 people. The temperatures inside the Soyuz could reach up to 104 degrees Fahrenheit during a return trip to Earth, Montalbano said. Executive Director of Human Spaceflight Programs at Roscosmos, Sergei Krikalev, added that humidity levels would also soar in the confined space of the capsule. A Soyuz return trip to Earth takes at least 6 hours and can take longer. End quote. While that would obviously be unhealthy for the crew, Krikalev added that it could be used in an emergency. And the SpaceX Crew Dragon capsule, which was built for 4 astronauts, could also be used if absolutely necessary by securing the additional 3 astro and cosmonauts in the cargo area. But such scenarios would only play out in an emergency evacuation of the ISS. The damaged Soyuz MS-22 will have a normal return landing, sans crew, but it won't do that until a few weeks after the MS-23 arrives at the ISS so that the crew is able to transfer gear from the old damaged spacecraft to the new one. And not only will close measurements be taken of the temperatures inside the uncrewed MS-22 during its return to learn more about those conditions, but it will also carry as much equipment and science experiments as possible, anything that needs to return to Earth that won't be damaged by the heat. And meanwhile, MS-23 will carry a full cargo load on its way to the ISS, so every contingency plan is still making the most of all resources at every step. And that the micrometeorite believed to have caused this whole situation was only about 1 millimeter in diameter only further points to the hazards of space debris. Though this micrometeorite was not caused by human-created space junk, the junk problem in space is ever mounting, and making the probability of any such collisions and the rippling issues and safety concerns they cause even higher. But meanwhile, referencing the good spirits the ISS crew have been in amongst all these changes, NASA's Montalbano joked, quote, "I may have to fly some more ice cream up to reward them," end quote. Well, that's going to be it for me for today. This show was produced by Ride Home Media. I'm Jackson Bird, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow.